And of course, this week we'll be following Tropical Storm Isaac, expected to hit a Category 2 hurricane. We'll monitor that situation, pass on all the information to you. When we come back in a moment, we'll take one final hour of calls with Carmen Bolter as we talk about the Egyptian pyramids and angels on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, welcome back to Coast, Carmen Bolter with us. Let's go to our first-time caller, Ken, truck driving somewhere in Michigan. Hey, Kenny, go ahead.
Hey, how you doing?
Good,
Thanks
Ken.
Thanks for taking my call.
Sure thing.
I just wanted to share a couple of incidents I had with, I believe, angels. I don't know. It surprised me.
Sure, go ahead.
One time I was driving in Ohio late in the afternoon. I had already made my pickup, and I was heading back to my yard. It was late in the day, and the sun was kind of low on my left side. I'm going up Route 11, and I'm getting tired. I said, well, I'll make it to the next rest stop. It's like only 15 minutes. And so I'm going along, and all of a sudden I start nodding out. And I'm getting tired and tired. And I said, well, I could make it there. And next thing I know, I'm asleep at the wheel. And all of a sudden I felt this warm, something warm on my right cheek. Now, the sun was on my left-hand side, and I felt this warm on my right-hand cheek. And as I opened my eyes, the inside of the cab was like had a golden glow. It's like I thought to myself, what's the sun doing on my right side? It was on my left side. And as I opened my eyes, I realized I'd fallen asleep, and the glow had disappeared and gone away.
Gosh. You got saved on that one.
I guess I did. On another occasion, I was in a bar, and I'm a recovering alcoholic. I hadn't drank in years. But towards the end of my drinking, I was rather disgruntled and drinking alone. So I'm sitting at the end of the bar. It was packed. It was on a weekend. I didn't want to talk to anybody. I didn't want to deal with anybody.
Yeah.
And like I said, it was shoulder to shoulder. I saw the door open. I'm way at the other end of the bar. And these two kids, it had to be in their early 20s. They looked like students, and they had backpacks on, a boy and a girl, and they walked through the door, and they just walked through the crowd. Like, it was like the crowd didn't see them, but they parted as they walked through the crowd. And I'm looking at them going, you know, that's kind of strange, you know, and they didn't, like, stop at all. The crowd just kind of just moved as they walked through the crowd.
Yeah.
And then they came down the end of the bar and came around to me. They didn't look at me, and they just stood by me. And one of them said to me, you don't have to live like this. And that freaked me out. I said, get the heck away from me right now. And they left. That was it.
Yeah.
They came and they gone. That was weird.
They passed on the message and off they went.
That was it.
I love that story. Thanks, Kenny. Well, Carmen, they sometimes work in mysterious ways, don't they?
Absolutely.
I mean,
but that's a good example, actually. I've seen that happen before, where an angelic being can take over somebody's body for a few minutes and pass on a message and disappear, or maybe just manifest, you know, in a body like
those two, yeah.
Like those two. So we don't know if they're real or they're not, but they're gone. They deliver the message and they're gone.
Do angels sometimes work in pairs?
I suppose, yes.
I would think they would.
Sure.
Partners.
Sure.
Bob in Santa Barbara, California. Hey, Bob, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you. Sure. I had a question about indigo children and how that takes part in all this, if there is such a thing.
Well, there are indigo children. And Carmen, do you want to reflect on that?
Sure. And I think that was a generation ago, and now we've got diamond children as well. And what these kids are doing is they're coming in with more of these abilities, more of these psychic gifts, and they're oriented in a different way. And a lot of times they don't fit very well with the crazy world we live in, the part that is not as healthy as it could be. And a lot of times they're getting drugged on Ritalin and that sort of thing because they don't, you know, they don't function the way ordinary other children do. So I think they're a real gift, and I think the world needs to change to adjust to them, and that they're part of our future.
We've got Skype caller Victor in Los Angeles. Hi, Victor. Thank you for calling.
How are you doing?
Good, Victor.
And guest? Yeah, I do know Robert Bingham. He is pretty well summoner out here in Los Angeles. You should check out his...
I will. I'm going to check him out.
Yeah, definitely. Now, I want to bring up your guest about the thing she's going to have the pop, not female character, right, but feminine.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know what, you look back at the pharaohs, like Tut and Akhenaten, they have very feminine characteristics of their features. Mm-hmm. So they were masculine pharaohs, and obviously Tut was a king. They became kings because obviously there's something that happened to the dynasty back then, and now they were called kings after that. But the Sphinx is a characteristic of four natures, you know, the lion and the oxen and man feature, the hare, right? And one more, the eagle.
Well, tell me, what is the significance, Carmen, of the feminine?
Well, it's what's been denigrated, and that's the subtitle of my book, An Evolutionary Map of Feminine Consciousness. The characteristic of the patriarchy is to erase evidence of everything other than itself. And so, you know, they took a lot of women out of the Bible and kept Mother Mary, but really the feminine has been starved out. And so, and matriarchy is not the opposite of patriarchy, where women control men, which is what a lot of the fear is. But really, it's about balance between the two. So when the feminine is denigrated, the whole planet goes out of balance. And so the significance of the feminine and what the Egyptians thought of it is it had to absolutely be in balance with the masculine. However, they would lead, you'd see their left foot slightly forward. And so the left side of the body and the right side and the brain is the feminine consciousness, and everybody's supposed to have both masculine and feminine consciousness, but they slightly lead with that which isn't seen, that which is, you know, periodicity and magic and symbolism and that sort of thing. And so that's what the Egyptians were showing us, and that's why it's been difficult for us to understand them, because we have come to look at things differently.
Do you think that we can summon up angels, or do they show up on their own?
I think we can ask for guidance. And I think that if we continue to ask for guidance, that usually help can come. Yes, I think we can.
Okay, next up, let's go to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Mike's with us, east of the Rockies. Go ahead, Mike.
Great to talk to you, George.
Thank you. I'm glad you got in.
I have a quick comment and a question for Carmen. I believe that there is a esoteric group that is worldwide that's known about this information for thousands of years and is purposefully hiding it in plain sight in front of everyone in the world's face. And what Carmen is trying to uncover is sacred geometry and our ability to link the feminine and masculine to actually resolve conflict without, you know, the mass murder that the esoteric have tricked everyone into over centuries. And I'd like to hear her comments.
All right.
Yeah, I don't know if you're talking about the Illuminati, but for sure, like there's been a concerted effort to distract us from the balance, and I think it's a failed experiment. I think it's led to all kinds of problems, and basically what it's showing me is that without the balance, we don't have much. And so that's what we're returning to, and that's why people say we're awakening the sacred feminine. And she's been sleeping, and Mother Earth, we need to connect to her. She has faith in us instead of us having faith in an external old god in the clouds. So this is not a slight against religion, but I think the way it's been described to us has been part of this whole network that has distracted us.
Have you ever been saved by an angel?
Me?
Yep.
Oh, yeah. Yes, definitely.
Want to share a story? Or is it too private?
Well,
Sounds private.
It's kind of private.
All right. I won't push that. Let's go to Larice, Fort Worth, Texas. Hi, Larice.
Hi. Carmen, earlier I heard you say that you had had some experiences with being able to bring things back and forth between the dimensions, and I was really fascinated by that because when I was a little girl, I just knew you could do that. And I grew up in a family that was strictly religious, so it took me a long time to get back to myself, but that was just something I knew you could do, and you know, I tried to a couple of times, but I never made it. So if you could tell us an experience, I'd love to hear one.
Well, I'm really grateful to hear a woman's voice. You're the first woman who's called in. I've had several experiences with manifestation, and you certainly can't try to do it. It's almost like those stereograms that you have to adjust your vision to diffuse awareness rather than focus attention. And the more you try to do it, the less you can do it. And the other thing about the ancients is that they would manifest in groups, and if it landed in someone's hand, it was like a team sport. It just happened to land in one person's hand. It didn't mean it belonged to them. And if they used it for ego purposes, then they weren't allowed to continue manifesting. So manifestation really is about something of a higher order for the benefit of all, if you will. So it's not something that's ego-driven. So a lot of people, you know, like, I want a new car, so I'm going to, you know, demand from spirit to, you know, to get this red car in the driveway. But that's not quite how it works. So I've manifested all kinds of things. Found jewelry in the bottom of my closet, and that there's no way that it possibly, that I put it there. It was actually a closet that I kept wool and in my sewing room. And I said to Spirit, I said, actually, I don't know what to do with this stuff, and so why don't you send money? And so I ended up manifesting a lot of money in my wallet when I was in Egypt one time, and I had actually run out of money, and it was a test of faith, and Spirit, you know, it came in $20 Canadian bills, and I said, why $20 Canadian bills? And they said, because that's what you would accept. And I went, you're right. You know, anyway. So, I mean, the stories go on like that, physically manifesting things, calling things in that I need to help someone. And so literally things popping between dimensions. And when I was in Egypt for 11/11, this crystal manifested in the knot of my iPad charging cord. And when we were doing the ritual at Abu Ghraib on the crystal altar, I put this crystal on my forehead. And then when I was finished, I went to feel all the way around, and it was gone. It went back where it came from. And so these things are very spooky, and our brain starts to argue with it. One time during an eclipse, and it was right on my moon, I manifested a gold earring, and like a hoop. And
it just showed up?
It showed up in my hand, and there was someone else watching, and it just popped out of nowhere.
Hmm.
And then I was doing a lot of Mother Mary channels at the time, and so I asked her. I didn't tell anybody what had happened, and I said, who's the earring from? And she said, you know who it's from. And I said, who? I said, Sai Baba. And I mean, these stories, I mean, like, George, you're pulling me way out on a limb here, but I mean, these stories have actually happened to me. And she told me to pierce my ear and wear the earring, and I did for 2 years. And then it broke one day, it started to burn, and I was told to give it to a friend. And, you know, she manifested this vibhuti, and it all was fitting with the Sai Baba imagery. I feel like I'm, you know, saying way too much here. But anyway, I mean, I've had several experiences where things pop from another dimension. And then they're returned as well. And so I think that it's just part of it. And I know that the ancient Egyptians were able to do that.
Okay, let's go next. Driving in Illinois. Hey, Chris, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Hi, thanks. I was just curious. I didn't know if this is something to do with angels or maybe chakras. But I was moving into an apartment a few years back, and there was this big piece of glass, the one on the coffee table. Anyway, it broke, and I reached my hand back to stop it from falling, and it put a big gash into my thumb, and it was a deep cut. And I wrapped my thumb up in my T-shirt because I had some people helping me move, and they were like, hey, can we go talk to your neighbor? And I was like, yeah, sure. So I stood there. My neighbor actually was my mother. I stood there while I talked to her, and I was getting a little more pale. And my mom looked down, and she said, honey, what's wrong? I said, well, I've got a pretty big gash in my thumb. And the shirt that I had it wrapped in, you know, was red with blood. She goes, well, you know, go over and talk to your aunt, which was also next door. She goes, you're going to need stitches. Well, my hands started to tingle a lot, which happens sometimes when I'm in a lot of stress. And I unwrapped my thumb when I got to my aunt, and I held it up to her, and she goes, honey, there's no cut there. You don't have anything on your thumb. But my shirt just had, like, a bunch of blood on it. But I had said a quick prayer on my way over to talk to her. I've been like, you know, I really don't like stitches. So, you know, if you can do something, I'd appreciate it. And so when I got there, there was no sign of a cut or a scar or anything, but there was blood all over my shirt.
Sounds like a miracle to me.
Okay. Well, you talked about chakras and the like, and I didn't know if that's been something from me or if that ended up being an intervention in some other way.
I think the latter, and it's spontaneous healing, and that is happening to people. And it's really quite remarkable. That's a very good story. Thank you.
And it could be a combination of the both too, right? Where the individual has this ability to heal themselves or to help themselves.
Yes, but this is instant. I mean, typically it would take days and days to heal a cut like that. And so if it's instant, then it does seem like some kind of intervention.
Linda in Windsor, Canada. Hi, Linda. Go ahead.
Hi. Great show. I agree with some of the things she has said about that were spooky, because they're real, because I've had them happen to me. And it was a woman's voice that told me what to do and in really dire circumstances. But I was like half asleep, half awake. But her presence was felt, and it was from a higher form. And I do agree that the pyramids were built with a highly technology like Edward Leitsko and how he did Coral Castle. I firmly believe that. But I also was made aware that there are people who are quite adept in the esoteric world, and they pretend to be your guides or, you know, your spirits, whatever, and you have to be very careful who you attach to, who you surrender to. And I think that's one of the most important things today, is that just because they say, oh, follow the light or whatever, you've got to test and make sure that it's, you know, the real deal and not somebody just with knowledge that's playing around, because it is a tricky, you know, area.
All right, well said.
It really is, and thank you for that. And, you know, we're not really supposed to have this conversation. That's why I think that, you know, I'm feeling a little uncomfortable, because, you know, there's no proof. There's some proof, I suppose, and we're measuring it more. But we've been taught to keep all this in the dark. And I think that it's time that people start to have the conversation, because many, many people have had these very powerful and interesting experiences. And so it's really good that we're getting to share some of these stories.
Okay, we're going to come back in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM. We're going to take your final phone calls with Carmen Bolter. So stick with us. We'll be right back. On our next Coast to Coast program, the human computer, Howard Bloom, joins us. So get ready for that. And we're going to come back in a moment with final phone calls with Dr. Carmen Bolter on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back to Coast. I'm George Norrie. Dr. Carmen Bolter with us. Carmen, when's your next trip?
December 8th to 22nd. We're going to be in the Great Pyramid for 12-12 and do a special ritual on the 21st of December.
What will that ritual consist of?
Well, we're going to be at the Crystal Altar of Abu Ghraib, and we're just going to celebrate the end of the cycle and bring in the new. And then after that, 2012 Great Convergence, organized by Evolver Intensives and Daniel Pinchbeck, are going to do a celebration on the plateau, and they've asked me to be keynote at it, and they're going to put up a Bedouin tent, and we're inviting other groups that are going to be there to join us as well. And there'll be a seminar on the 20th at one of the hotels, and we'll be explaining the significance of the galactic alignment. So it'll be quite an event.
Lots going on that period, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Let's go to the phones. Let's go to far Texas. Hey, Chris, it's your turn.
Hey, Mr. Norrie, how are you doing tonight?
Good, Chris.
Question to your guest. I was going to ask him about you know how the several pyramids.
God, I'm losing you, Chris. Try to call back, get a better connection. Lee, though, is truck driving in Iowa. Go ahead, Lee.
Good morning, George. Thanks for taking my call.
You are welcome.
I wanted to share a story with you about what happened to me in 1968 in Vietnam. I'm sure you're well aware of the fact that there's no atheists in a combat zone. And I didn't have a firm faith that one day we were out on ambush, had been out about an hour, taking a little break. LT wanted me to go up front, so I went up front, walking along, and I heard a click, and I froze, and I had stepped on a landmine.
Oh.
And I had sense enough to stop, and had the guys come up and, you know, kind of probe around with the bayonets to make sure that's what I was standing on.
Yeah.
Sure enough, they were going to have the EOD guys come, but they were a chopper flight, hour and 10 minutes out. It's a long time to have to stand in one spot. Made it for about 20 minutes, and I couldn't take it anymore. I just had to move, so I told LT to get the guys out of the way, you know, because I'm not sure I can stand here.
Yeah, you're going to go for it, weren't you?
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, I didn't have a choice. Just as I was getting ready to move, a sense of calmness came over me, and it was like somebody was holding me up. There wasn't anybody there, but it was like all the weight of my body was taken off of me, and I was able to stand there for an hour. The EOD guys came out, they disarmed it. I walked out of there without a scratch.
Wow.
I'm convinced an angel saved me that day.
I think so. Wow, that's a great story. Carmen, you can write a book just on angel stories.
Well, and you know what? I'm going to tell you one if you don't mind.
Yeah, I don't mind.
It's a little bit shocking. So 2 years ago on the last Monday of August, which is tonight, my son came home with a new car and he showed it to me. Then he went out to test drive it with his friend. And there was a terrible crash.
Oh, geez.
And his friend said that he felt that Galen turned into an angel and protected him because he had a wife and two kids, and that Galen sacrificed himself. So the car actually kind of broke in half. It was spinning. He was sucked out the seat belt through the rear window and thrown 80 feet, and the car ended up teeter-tottering on the cement with an 800-foot drop, and his friend walked away.
Well, what happened to your son?
Dead.
Oh, I'm sorry. Jeez.
But they were, and then when they opened the ambulance door, when his friend went to the hospital, his girlfriend saw him there. And they're all convinced that Galen turned into an instant angel
to
help him.
I think so.
So, and that was 2 years tonight. And, you know, I was thinking, as, you know, as a mother, you know, you kind of feel, and I thought, well, I'm going to be on coast. But there isn't a better distraction for me. So.
Oh, Carmen.
Yeah, but that's how it happens, and it's synchronicity, and there's all kinds of things happening. But I feel that, you know, he didn't have to come to incarnate, and he's fine. He's in an okay place, and I understand it from a spiritual standpoint.
It is amazing, whatever this force is that allows this to happen.
Mm-hmm.
It is just truly remarkable.
It is, and I'm glad that you can respect it and that we can share these stories.
Let's go to Spartanburg, South Carolina. Sean, first-time caller. Hi, Sean. Go ahead.
Good morning to both of you, and thank you for your hard work. Carmen, I wanted to touch a little bit on the diet of the Egyptians, what you know about them. But first of all, I wanted to say that I am a third-generation chiropractor and vegan, and I've studied toxins and diet my whole life. And you look at the Aztecs, the Egyptians, the Incas, the Mayans, and the Aztecs, they were all in an extremely tropical period, and they had much access to fresh fruits and vegetables. They didn't really have a need for meat down there. And from what I have read, that ancient Egypt was actually very tropical at one time. And I believe, personally, from my studies of the pyramids, that these people were obviously extremely intelligent, and that they got to that with partially due to an advanced diet of 100% fruits and vegetables, I believe, which is fruitarian. And you look at the cultures today that live the longest, it's Okinawa, and they eat 80% fruits and vegetables. Then you have the people in Sardinia and Costa Rica who are definitely very plant-based diets. And I wanted to get your take on the possibility of them being, you know, extremely healthy with their diet and giving them advanced intelligence.
Absolutely. And, you know, a lot of times when you see them in the frescoes with the leg of a cow, they're not going to a barbecue. that's representing a star system, right? So a lot of these, you know, you think that they were eating meat because they're giving it to the gods, but they're actually communing on a cosmic level. So I think, yes, they were very, very intelligent, and they probably ate bread and wheat, but it was a different form of wheat. Now it's become overprocessed to the point where it's not good for us anymore. But yes, I think they had very clean diets.
What do you think manna was when they would have that, eat that? Some think it was like
powder,
the white powder of gold, right?
White powder coming from heaven. Yes, absolutely. I think that's part of the manifestation process as well. That's the and that's like vibhuti that I mentioned, that Sai Baba would, when he would manifest, the vibhuti would come with it. And so I think it's similar.
Next up, let's go to Wayne in Roseburg, Oregon. Hi, Wayne.
Hey, George, how are you doing?
Good.
Are you in St. Louis?
I'm in Los Angeles now.
So did you see Tim Conway tonight?
I did not see him, but I heard him.
Okay. But, yeah.
He's here, though.
I tried to get a hold of you last night, and I kind of got in on the end of it. But when I was a little kid on a tricycle, a guy tried to abduct me, and he looked like a wolf. He had hair. That's the way I remember it. I don't know what it was really like.
A demon, but, no doubt.
Something like that. He was driving a powder blue T-Bird convertible. And when you, back in those days, I'm kind of old. I'm 52 now. And back in those days, when an adult told you to do something, you did it. And he pulled over and said, get in his car. And there was really nobody watching me. I was outside. And I started walking towards this car. And my neighbor pulled up next door. And he drove up. And was that an angelic thing? Or was it just a lucky thing or whatever? But I didn't even remember it until I was like 35.
Well, I mean, the angel, you knew you knew the neighbor, right?
Yeah.
I would say that was just a moment of good synchronicity, Carmen. What do you think?
Well, yes, but it's kind of like asking for a parking spot. Like if you need help, and that somebody has to get up and go at the right time. So that person, if they're in tune, would have thought, now I'm leaving, now I'm getting in the car. Something urged them to cross paths with you at that moment. I think that's a little angelic nudging.
I think so. I wonder what ever happened to the guy. He probably just drove away to do his heinous stuff elsewhere. Let's go to Sacramento, California. Camille is with us, west of the Rockies. Hi there, Camille.
Hi.
Good to have you with us.
I'm glad to. I have a story. I completely believe that an angel helped me. I lived in Los Angeles at the time, and I had just bought a motorcycle, a Suzuki 650 from the paper. I thought, I want a motorcycle, so I'm going to buy one. And so I looked in the paper. There was a cheap one, and a friend of mine, I couldn't drive it home because I didn't know how to ride motorcycles, but a friend of mine gave, we got it transferred over to this parking lot, and my friend gave me about a 10-minute lesson, you upshift and blah, blah, blah. And I said, okay, I think I've got it. And he sent me on my way. I was often flying down Wilshire Boulevard and on this motorcycle. At the time, there weren't helmet laws, so I didn't have a helmet. And I didn't have goggles. I might have had actually something on my head, but I don't remember. But I know I didn't have goggles because there was a large wind through the between these tall buildings. And the motorcycle started to shake, and suddenly, I was like, uh-oh, what do I do? I didn't have control of the motorcycle. I didn't know how to ride. I mean, I was riding, but I didn't know how to ride, and the bike was much too heavy for me anyway. And all of a sudden, a bunch of little pieces of whatnot got in my, like leaves or something, I don't know, got in my eyes, and so I had to close my eyes. And I'm riding this thing, and it's shaking, and I have my eyes closed, and all of a sudden, I'm trying to open my eyes, I'm trying to see something, And I look, and all of a sudden, I see the bike just sliding out from under me. And it did. I know that the bike slid out from under me, but that was all I remember. I was completely untouched. I didn't feel any pain or anything. And I was suddenly just on the side of the street. I was right next to there was a bus shelter behind me, actually. And I was completely out of the way of traffic. And I turned around. I thought, you know, it's really windy. And I turned around, and there's a bus shelter. And I was like, oh, thank you for the bus shelter. So I kind of backed up in the bus shelter. And I opened my eyes a little, and I was like, rubbing them. Assessed the situation. And there was a long line of cars lined up on Wilshire Boulevard, honking their horns behind my motorcycle, which was in the road, lying in the road. So I was like, ooh, I better try to move it. And I went out there. I tried to get up. And I couldn't pick it up because it was too heavy. But I know. I was literally scooped up by something and moved to the side of the road.
What an incredible feeling for that to happen.
Yeah, it was. I was like, how am I standing here? I was standing there. And I was looking at the motorcycle, and I was looking at the big line of cars. I tried to pick it up. The guy in the first car, I kind of shrugged at him. I'm like, I can't pick the stamp. It's too heavy. And so he got out, and he helped me pick it up, and I got back on it.
Well, let me tell you, case after case, Carmen, of miraculous stories like this. I mean, they would go on forever.
Mm-hmm.
It was just amazing.
We need to be grateful.
Cesar. Cesar in Houston, Texas. Hi, Cesar.
Hey, George. Hey, Carmen.
Hi.
Good to have you with us. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to share an experience I had about 2 years ago. I was driving up the freeway, and I was going about 80 miles. And out of nowhere, one of my tires just popped.
Oh, man.
And, I started swerving to the left, to the right. And I tried braking, but my brakes locked, and the steering wheel locked. And everything was going through my head so fast, I knew I was going to crash, and the truck started swerving left to right. And I ended up hitting one of the guardrails, like, real hard, that I was unconscious for about a minute or two. And I could hear all these people screaming, like, outside the car and stuff. And I looked towards my right, and I see this lady, like, she was so beautiful. She was wearing, like, this white dress. She had, like, blonde, like, a very light blonde hair color. And she had, like, pale skin. And I saw her putting her arms up, like, stopping the traffic because I was on the freeway. And I remember when I was getting on the freeway, I saw, like, if I'm not mistaken, probably like three trailers behind me. And this lady was yelling, stopping the traffic. And when I was getting on the ambulance, I was asking the people, the paramedics, if they knew where the lady that stopped the traffic was. And they were like, no, there was no lady. But right when I was getting inside the ambulance, I saw, like, through one of the cracks of the door, of one of the doors that they used to close the back doors. And I saw her going down, I don't know how you call this, but you know how some spots on freeways that have streets under it, it makes it into like a bridge. And like on the side of it, there's like a little hill of grass, little spot where there's like grass and stuff growing. Mm-hmm. And I seen her walking down there. And I assume it had to be an angel or something. I don't know what it was, but it just didn't make sense because what would a person be doing walking down there? And how did she even get there?
Well, see, that's the great question. And Carmen, with these angelic experiences, they seem to just materialize, don't they?
Exactly, instantly.
But is it a higher power that sends them? I wonder if they act on their own.
Well, I'm more inclined to think that they are high-level beings that are doing their work on the other side, not that they're dispatched by any one source. That's just how it works, I think.
It's time for one or two more, Matt, in Phoenix City, Alabama. Hey, Matt, go ahead.
Hey, thank you. I wanted to ask your guest about the Sphinx itself, and there's a lot of thought that the Sphinx might be way older than Egyptian civilization.
Yeah, much older, with the theory, of course, of running rainwater down it and everything else. It was like it was in a deluge, Carmen.
Oh, absolutely. I'm familiar with all that.
Maybe the Noah's Flood. Who knows? Huh?
Well, yes. I mean, they're very, very ancient monuments. I mean, for the weather to have changed, climatology, you know, will tell us that it was a good long time ago that happened. And John Anthony West will, you know, say between 36,000 years and older than that.
What do you enjoy seeing the most, the Sphinx or the Great Pyramids?
It's all a unit. It's all together. I mean, it's all got energy that works together. So,
are they close in terms of physical locale?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Can you walk there, or do you have to drive there between them?
You walk. You can walk between them.
That's cool.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool. Is it like a museum where they charge you to go in now, or what?
Oh, yeah. You have to pay a fee to get onto the plateau, and then another fee to get in the Great Pyramid with the general public.
Well, it's tourism. That's how they make their money, I guess.
Oh, sure.
Carmen, thanks for being on the program, and thanks for being so gracious.
Oh, thank you, George. I enjoyed it.
All right. You take care of yourself. Carmen Bolton, Angels and Archetypes, and also her DVD is called The Pyramid Code. Her website linked up at coasttocoastam.com. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Laudasur, Stephanie Smith, George Knapp, John B. Wells, Ian Punnett, and Art Bell, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.